Today we're going to hear the scripture from John 1. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip says, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. When Jesus saw him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under a fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Prayers for you, Randy. Come and see.
Thank you, Velma, for reading the scripture for us this morning and leading us in worship. And thank you to Shelby and Sean and Steve for leading us in singing. It's great to be gathered together this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. Well, I thought maybe to start off this morning we would do a little self-care check-in. All right, as a chaplain at the hospital, one of my responsibilities in morning huddle is to check in on the team's self-care, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And, you know, I just thought, let's just take 20 seconds, turn to your neighbor, and give a self-care check-in. Let them know how you're doing. You can choose any one of those four, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Self-care check-in. All right, that's wonderful. We're in a season where the flu is running rampant, and we still don't have a ton of light always in the evenings, although it's getting a little bit more each evening. But I just think it's a good reminder to be paying attention to your own self-care. I don't know if you're brave enough to go out for a run. I've tried it a few times, but my lungs didn't like it very much with the cold weather. But yeah, well, it's great to be gathered together. In the Christian calendar right now, if any of you are following the lectionary and the Christian calendar, you may know that we are currently in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany. Epiphany is Sunday, is more than just the first Sunday in the new year. It actually lasts for quite a few weeks here. And we are currently in that season. Epiphanies tend to transform people. They are these sudden awarenesses or understandings that come to you, kind of like a light bulb going off. Huh, never thought of it that way before. That's an epiphany. It just comes to you, it hits you. Sudden awareness. Maybe a sudden awareness that you never imagined or thought of. Martin Luther King Jr. describes this sort of epiphany that came upon him in a book that he wrote called Stride Toward Freedom. This is a little quote from his book. He said, "I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. 'I am here. taking a stand for what I believe is right. But now, God, I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership. And if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. God, I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. Martin Luther King writes, "At that moment, at midnight in my kitchen, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, 'Stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever.' Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything." That kitchen experience at 12 o'clock at midnight for Martin Luther King was an epiphany, often referred to as his vision in the kitchen. It might be a great time for all of us. Just as Martin Luther King knew that he had to stand up for justice and stand up for truth, and yet those fears just came upon him, to be reminded, as he says, God will be at your side forever. Now is a time more than ever, all of us, Whitmer Heights and community, to remember God's words and the truth of God's word in Scripture. And I'm especially reminded of Micah 6:8 in this time of polarization and just so much negative rhetoric in our world. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Well, before we... this morning we have a text in... we had this text in John where there is an epiphany as well. This is an epiphany for Nathanael. So a little context, though, before we get to Nathanael's epiphany. This is a story of Jesus calling his disciples to come and follow him. Discipleship, following Jesus. That's what we have at the beginning of this story. We read that Philip then goes to Nathanael to tell him about the one he is following. And he tells Nathanael in verse 45, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And it says in verse 46, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." See, right there in verse 49, an epiphany happened for Nathanael. Sudden awareness. He sees this man coming at him in a completely new way. No longer as just someone that came out of Nazareth, but the Son of God, the King of Israel. A sudden epiphany that came over Nathanael. Something snapped into focus. And we're left as the readers trying to figure out just how quickly someone could come to see Jesus, the Son of God. It's not completely obvious to us how Nathanael's transformation just happened so fast. Nathanael seems to approach life with kind of a critical lens. He's a master of suspicion. He asks really good questions. What we read that when his friend says, "We found the man about whom Moses and the prophets wrote," Nathanael doubts it. He rationalizes that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. And we also read that when Jesus greets him generously as a man in whom there is no deceit, what is Nathanael's response? Not to say, "Oh, well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you." No, Nathanael's suspicious. "Where did you get to know me? How do you know that?" says in John 1:48. I think Nathaniel really sums up so well so many in our generation, in many generations, of suspicion, doubt, questions, maybe even done with the faith, the nuns and the duns, seeking, asking questions, wanting to understand, but suspicious. If I'm honest, there's a little bit of Nathaniel in me too. I'm always a little bit suspicious and questioning and doubting as well. And yet we see in this story, when there is an encounter with the living Christ, something happens. Jan Schnell Reppentrop, homiletics professor and political theologian at the Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago, has some very wise words on this text, and I'm borrowing from some of her right here. She says, even Jesus himself seems sort of surprised at Nathanael's sudden and absolute confession of faith. Jesus seems surprised since he responds almost with some humor. Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? So when Nathanael, this person who tends to see the negative and questions everything, effuses this overwhelmingly positive declaration of who Jesus is, after just meeting him, the reader's expectations are toppled. What is going on here? Has Nathanael really just uttered this statement of belief with exclamation points? Yes, his faith has overcome suspicion about Jesus. Nathanael's epiphany, in which he suddenly could see Jesus in a new kind of way, changed him. What does he respond with? He responds with three words to describe this Jesus. Rabbi was the first one, an honorific term appropriate to Jesus since he taught, debated, and gathered disciples. Nathanael calls him the Son of God, a term for one with a close relationship with God. In the Hebrew Bible, Son of God refers to someone commissioned with a divine task. And third, he says, King of Israel. In John, this is a very positive term. This is a political term that implies ruling lordship, one that will bring about justice and peace. Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel. All three of these terms to describe Jesus has the potential to bring transformative change. Rabbis through teaching and leading, the Son of God by bridging the gap between heaven and earth and relationship with God through Christ, and the King of Israel by bringing about justice and peace and well-being in the midst of brokenness. This epiphany that Nathanael has allows something to snap into focus for something new to come into his life. I'm struck as we look at these two characters in this story. We have Philip, who's the evangelist. He's the guy saying, come and see. He's out there. He's like on the forefront of mission, excited about what God is doing in this world, and wants to go and tell everybody. And then we have Nathanael, who's the skeptic and the doubter, but yet is transformed by the living Christ in his epiphany. And I'm struck by these two characters who are both now following Jesus. Which one do you identify with here in this story? And it could be both. I hope that we can be like Philip. And I hope that we too can acknowledge the places that we are like Nathanael. I hope that we can invite others into our fellowship to come and see and experience Jesus. But I also hope that we can acknowledge the places like Nathanael where we have those doubts and those skepticisms, and that we can be open to the transforming work of Christ even when we least expected it. So first, some examples here of how we invite others to come and see. All of us this morning in our worship service are saying, we need to come and see. That's part of why you came here this morning, because you want to come and see God. Even for the most seasoned disciples of Christ here, we still need reminded this morning. We need the continual invitation to come and see Jesus, to be reminded of the story of God, one of grace, joy, peace, justice, forgiveness of sins, invitation to participate in God's preferred future, what we call the kingdom of God. Our worship service this morning, hopefully, is an invitation through song and prayer, sermon, reading scripture, sharing time, offering, vulnerable sharing, confession. All of that is part of coming and seeing God at work and being reminded of God. For our children, we say, come and see. That's why we have Sunday school. It's why we have children's time. It's why we encourage Anabaptist education at Lancaster Mennonite. It's why we have opportunities for children to be involved in our worship service. We want to invite them to come and see Christ and to experience the transforming love of Christ in their lives. Come and see. It's why we say come and see to our neighbors. It's why we have community night. It's why we Christmas carol in the neighborhood. It's why we support Conestoga Valley Christian Community Services, which I had the opportunity to speak about the next, what I see for the next 30 years at the Rotary Club. Thank you, Don, for that invitation. It's why we volunteer at the Women's Winter Shelter at the YWCA over the winter months. It's why many of you volunteer at local community nonprofits. It's why you care about environmental sustainability. You want to ask people to come and see this kind of God that you worship and the kind of life it offers. And we say, come and see to the world. It's why we, in our budget line, support Easter Mennonite Missions, Mennonite Mission Network, Mennonite Central Committee, Mennonite Disaster Service, Mennonite World Conference, Mennonite Church USA, Lancaster Mennonite Conference. So many wonderful ministries who are not just involved in the local community, but all over the world, saying, come and see God and God's work in the kingdom. Come and see. And as we say, come and see, we invite others to come and see. But don't be surprised if this text is truly alive and working in our lives and the Spirit of God is at work. Don't be surprised, we're told, is as we say, come and see, where the response that we get is, really? At that place? In that person? That is where you want me to come and see Jesus? That is who you want me to see Jesus in? Like Nathaniel, if I'm honest, am saying, can anything good come out of there? In that person? That's where the invitation to find Christ is at. We say, come and see, and then we acknowledge, too, that God will show up in unexpected places and unexpected people. I want to share a story that really names this Nathaniel character so well. And I actually shared this story 3 years ago, and so maybe some of you will remember it. But it's such a good story that it deserves being shared more than once. This story is from a friend of mine, Lars Okerson, who's now doing Mennonite Central Committee in Honduras. And this is a story of when him and his friend John Spiker were biking to Mennonite World Conference. Can you imagine that? They biked from Virginia down to Paraguay for the 2009, I think, World Conference, yeah. And along their way, as they're biking, they, of course, when you're staying in people's homes, one of the natural questions is, so what's the journey like, you know, for the next 100 miles, or what should we expect? And one of the things that he says in the story that he wrote up that I'm sharing here is that almost every single time they would say negative things about the communities that they would be going into. Oh, be careful. Don't trust them. That's a really, really terrible place for drug narcotics and violence. And they were struck that their hosts would often give advice about the road ahead in negative ways. He says, almost without exception, the reports were negative. The people there won't receive you, they tell us. They're going to rob you. You're going to get sick. I mean, let's be honest. They are biking through some pretty dangerous places in Mexico with the drug cartels. I would have some of the same fears. But in those places, Lars says, we were warned about, we would be welcomed as warmly as before. Our experience told us to look and listen with hope for an expectation of good in people. For us, this required being vulnerable to receive from other people what the Holy Spirit could provide through those made in God's image. He says, we crossed the United States-Mexico border in early February on our bikes, during a time of elevated violence between police and narcotic cartels in those borderlands. Winter up north is also a time when many Central American migrants make the journey across the deserts to enter the United States. And we were staying with some of them in a Catholic hospitality house in Nuevo Laredo. We were unsure of the situation ahead, so we asked our roommates during our stay. As usual, the reports were mostly not good. One man told us in all seriousness, I hope you live to see Monterrey just 150 miles to the south. So with these words running through our heads, we set out on another rainy day, eyeing each car that passed with a heightened suspicion. It was noon as we rode on the empty highway that a white van pulled up to us and drove slowly at John's side, about 20 kilometers per hour. Our minds were racing. Still driving, the driver lowered his window and extended his hand, holding a pizza box. ¿Quieres un pizza? He asked. So John responded, ¿Por qué no? Which means, why not? Still rolling, the driver handed John the pizza and drove off, leaving us to enjoy a still-hot supreme pizza in the middle of the desert in the rain. It was delicious. But even more, it seemed like a sign to us from God, lifting our worries like the fog and giving us more reason to hope than to fear. God is up to something, and it's happening all around us, even in the most unexpected places and people. It's happening all around us if we can be attuned to it in the midst of a lot of distractions. Don't believe me? Come and see. Amen.